Hello, listener. Thanks for checking out my website, dailyjamrunner.com. This is episode 8 of the podcast, and this time we have on local Santa Barbara trail runner Helen Payne. She's been mentioned in a couple episodes in the past, and now she is on to talk about her experience at the 2026 Leadville Trail 100. The Leadville 100 is a 100-mile race in the town of Leadville, Colorado. And this race proposes the unique challenge of high altitude. I believe the average elevation of this race is like over 10,000 feet, so quite a challenge, especially for people who are from here in Santa Barbara, where we are basically living at sea level. Helen tells some good stories from the race. She overcame some tough challenges, and ultimately she was able to finish in under 25 hours, which earned her the cool big belt buckle that the race gives people who go under 25 hours. So tune in to listen to some good stories from Helen. And also, I wanted to mention, at one point in the podcast, we talk about her work with Runners for Public Lands. And it's very briefly mentioned that Runners for Public Lands is trying to bring awareness to a situation going on right now where the federal government is trying to rescind the roadless rule, which is the roadless rule, to my knowledge, is a regulation that was adopted by the U.S. Forest Service and the federal government back in, I think, 2001, from what I read on the internet. It basically protects large national forest and national park areas from having any new paved roads built on the land, and basically it just is a very important part of conservation of these national public lands. And right now the federal government is trying to rescind that rule, so which would ultimately put our public lands at risk in the future, potentially bringing in like industrialization and things like that into our public lands that we all enjoy. And so the organization Runners for Public Lands is trying to raise awareness about this. And if you go onto their website, it's runnersforpubliclands.org. There's a page where you can read about the roadless rule, and they have a link where you can leave a comment where it will be submitted to the federal government, basically advocating to not rescind the roadless rule. I think I saw on the internet that we basically have until October 6th, 2026 to submit comments, so I would highly suggest going and doing that, because us as runners, especially trail runners, we use public lands a lot. And honestly, like, really, no matter what side of the political aisle you kind of fall on, I feel like this one kind of is important to everyone. Anybody who enjoys public lands, no matter what your political opinions are, this issue should matter to you. And, you know, it may not seem like that big of a deal if some small amounts of lands get, have roads built into them or something, but I think, really, we know that if the government starts, you know, taking away some public lands or public rights to be on lands, even if it's just a little bit now, it's unlikely that we'll ever get that back in the future, and usually it leads to more erosion of lands and rights. So I think this is an important issue. I would highly suggest going to their website, runnersforpubliclands.org. And also, in the podcast, Helen mentions that Runners for Public Lands is hosting some trail work days here in Santa Barbara. So if you're interested in getting involved in trail work, there's a page on their website for that as well. I believe Helen mentioned that the next trail work day here in Santa Barbara is October 17th. So I would suggest getting involved in that if you're available. Those trail work days can provide a good sense of fulfillment, and it's a good chance to just kind of give back to the community, since we all use these trails. And it's hard work to keep them in good shape. Anyway, without further ado, here's the episode with Helen. She's got some great stories, so enjoy. Hello. We are back at my kitchen table, and this time I've got Santa Barbara Trail runner Helen Payne here. She's been mentioned in several episodes of this podcast so far, and we finally have her to sit down and chat about her experience at the Leadville Trail 100 this year. The race was just 2 weekends ago now, right?
Say hi.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Drew, for having me here. And also, John is here.
Yeah, so we have John, at this point, a frequent guest on the show, John Sutherland. He's here. He was helping crew and pace Helen at Leadville, so he's here for some support on details and remembering things, and might even chime in with some questions too if anything comes up.
Yeah, it's always fun to be back.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can just get started by like kind of introducing Helen, and I'm curious about your history with running and just like athletics in general. What's your history with athletic life?
So I started running in elementary school because I was not coordinated, so I could not do any ball sports. But I had a lot of energy, and so my mom was trying to figure out, like, what could I do after school that would take out a lot of energy and be good. And so I did this program where they have students do the equivalent of a marathon over the course of a month. And so I did that for, like, in my fourth and fifth grade in elementary school. Really liked it. And then in middle school, they had a program called Students Run LA, which is where they, like, trained you to run the LA Marathon. And you got, like, shoes, and they paid for your hotel, and, like, just basically gave you all the equipment that you need to succeed and, like, taught you how to long-distance run.
And that's in middle school?
Yeah, so I did that in 7th and 8th grade, and that was a lot of fun. And then after that, it just kind of, like, led right into cross country, which I was terrible at, but I really liked it.
So did you actually run the LA Marathon when you were in, like, 7th or 8th grade?
Yeah, exactly. What? So my 7th grade, it was the year that somehow it was, like, the coldest year in history in LA, and there was hail, and people got pulled off the course for hypothermia.
Whoa.
And I ran in a trash bag.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so
do you remember, like, a lot from that experience? Like, how did you hate it?
No, I loved it. It was great. I think I remember my time. It was 4 hours and 20 minutes.
Whoa.
I remember I ate a lot of gummy bears. I don't think I had any gels.
Wow.
It was a blast.
That's amazing.
My second marathon was not that fast. It was slower.
Whoa. That's crazy. Honestly, that's a very Helen type of answer in my mind. Like, you describe it's like there's hail and you ran a trash bag and you're like, no, I loved it. That's like classic Helen. That's pretty cool. I did not know that at all. Wow. Yeah, you got into like endurance running like super early then.
Yeah, some would say too early.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's good for kids that young to be running that much, and I think it probably didn't help like speed or anything for cross country following. But I loved it, and it was a lot of fun, and Yeah. It taught me that I could run a marathon, so yeah. That was cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. But yeah, I've heard, I guess, yeah, it is like somewhat controversial for like kids to run marathons. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You hear about like young kids trying to do it and people are like, oh, they might get injured and things like that. But I don't know.
Yeah. So far I've had good success rate with injuries, but yeah, you just don't know the implications. And there's so many other cool running, you know, goals and things you can do at a young age that, yeah, I don't know if I would recommend it, but I don't know. I don't think it would.
Yeah. It's not as bad as some people might think, right?
Yeah. I'm still happy I did it. Yeah. I don't regret it.
Yeah, interesting. So then you end up doing, like, cross country and...
Yeah, so I ran cross country in high school, was not very good, could not make the varsity team, and then wanted to run in college, but again, was not good enough. Yeah. So then in college, I joined the sailing team, did that for a while, and just ran for fun. And my senior year of college, I did another marathon with my sister, and we ran it together, which was a lot of fun. But yeah, there had been like kind of a big gap in long distance running between middle school and that. So
yeah, but that's cool. That it seems like running has pretty much always kind of been in your life.
Yeah,
from what it seems like.
Yeah, from a very young age, it's always been a part of it. So it's crazy to think like, yeah, I haven't not run for a significant amount of time.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm curious, like, have you had like many injuries in your past from like running your whole life, or have you been kind of good with? Because the time I've known you for like the last couple of years or so, like I don't remember a time where you had to like take a break from like knee pain or something like that. Or
yeah, I mean, I've definitely had my share of like typical, you know, shin splints and runner's knee and things like that. I don't do enough strength exercise, things, you know, that all runners face. But for the most part, I've never had a serious injury, knock on wood, though.
Of course.
We'll see.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, I've had, like, a lot of injuries that didn't make me have to fully sideline myself from running for, like, multiple months in a row. So that's very frustrating. But I think my path was a little different, like I definitely was not running cross country and stuff and throughout high school and things like that. So I don't know, maybe that's actually beneficial to like lifelong running.
Yeah, I think there's pros and cons. Like I think waiting till later in life, like you have a lot of speed and stuff that you can have, I don't know, later on.
Yeah, so you can tap into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. So sounds like, so you ran a marathon like towards the end of college?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that, so I guess I'm wondering, how did we get into like trail running in particular and then eventually like ultra running?
Yeah. So after that marathon, my senior year of college, I applied to jobs in Tahoe. So I got a field job in Tahoe. And they have this thing called the Tahoe Triple, which is 3 marathons in 3 days. And so I started thinking like, okay, I have all summer to train for this and I've already done one marathon like with my sister. So I know I can do one, maybe I can do all 3 in 3 days back to back. And so yeah, I trained all summer for it and I did it and I was like, oh my God, this is the best thing I've ever done.
Really?
Wow. So much fun.
Yeah.
And then from there, I just like realized that trail running was a whole separate thing where you could go even longer and on trails. Like I didn't realize there was even a difference between road running and trail running before that. And
had you been running on trails much to that point?
Yeah. Like I did some of my training runs on trails in Tahoe and I don't know why it took me so long to realize like they're 2 different things.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of cool. Like I think maybe it's almost like in my mind, it might be better for a runner if like you don't even differentiate between the two. It's like running is running.
Yeah.
Like if you're going somewhat fast over some terrain, whether it's like a paved road or like a rocky trail or something, it's still running.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You at least, I don't know. It was nice to just like get out the door and I like made my own little schedule and I wrote it all out on like a piece of paper and had all like 3 or 4 months planned out and stuff and like stuck to my schedule like crazy. Wow. I don't know. Yeah. It was fun. It was a really good race and I ran my PR too in one of those.
Wow.
So that was like cool to do in in an event that's like 3 days long.
Yeah. Wow. Did you have much like running community at that time? Were you like running with other folks very much or was it mostly like solo training?
Totally solo. Yeah. Not a single running friend.
Yeah. Wow. That's very interesting because like I know the Helen, like the Santa Barbara Helen is like pretty central to the trail running community, I would say here. Like you like you put on the Vert Challenge thing, which is really cool, like a really great community event, and like just everybody seems to know you. So like you seem like a very central part of the community. When did you start like developing your community of runners?
Yeah, that's a good question. So for a long time, I didn't have any running friends. I think because I was working seasonal jobs, and so moving place to place, I didn't actually have a chance to get to know people and, like, the running communities. And so when I moved to Santa Barbara for grad school, it was after COVID, and I was just, like, honestly desperate for friends and desperate for, like, running friends in particular. And so I just like took every opportunity I could to get to meet people. Like I would just go up to people at the trailheads and be like, "Hi, I'm Helen. Do you want to run with me?" And, and then at races, like people would recommend different trail running groups and, and like going to some of those groups at the beginning was super intimidating. Yeah. Because obviously there's people that have like known each other for a really long time and they can be kind of clicky, right. But I was very determined to try and make friends. Yeah. So that helps.
Yeah. What, do you remember like who the first like person you met in Santa Barbara, like who your first running friend or friends were in Santa Barbara?
That's a good question. So I think I ran into John Zaid on the trail and talked to him for a while. And he recommended I run with Lisa Dosh, which I did not run with her that day. But it's so funny because we end up being best friends and doing so many runs together.
Oh, yeah.
And then I also ran into Dave and Deanna O'Dell at Nine Trails. And so they recommended going to Santa Barbara Running and Racing and joining that group. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I did. And that was like the best decision ever. Cause I feel like that really led me to just make all these friends and have all these connections. So.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. cool. Yeah. I think I mentioned earlier that Helen she created this event called the Vert Challenge here. I'm interested to hear more about like how that came to be in your mind. And I think I know a little bit about it, but like I've mentioned it on this podcast a couple of times in the past. Like maybe you can describe what the Vert Challenge is a little bit.
So the Vert Challenge it's a community oriented event that's 24 hours long and basically people can run as much vert as they want on Tunnel Trail within that 24-hour period. And then in the last 3 hours, more folks are welcome to join. And it's kind of like a big hurrah where everyone just is getting as much vert as possible. And then afterwards, there's the big potluck. And every time during the 3 hours when a bunch of people join, you get raffle tickets and the raffle tickets you can put them in like baskets to get prizes and you can also buy raffle tickets and it's kind of a donation based event and all the proceeds go to Runners for Public Lands.
Yeah. Which you do some work with.
Yeah. They're also one of the groups that I met when I first moved here to Santa Barbara. My sister actually sent me a post that they made on Instagram of like, "Oh, these people like plants and they also run. You should go and hang out with them." And I was like, "Okay, I will." So I just went camping with a bunch of strangers And it turned out to be great. They all seemed really awesome, and they care about protecting our public lands, which are really under threat, especially currently. And
I know.
Yeah.
Maybe we can talk about that, too, in a minute. But the Vert Challenge, like, so, yeah, you created that. It's this cool community event. Because in my mind, that's, like, that's one of those, like, big community things that we have here in Santa Barbara. Like, year one was 2024, I think. Because this was year three.
I don't actually know.
2026 was year three, so...
Yeah, you're right.
2024 will be year one.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's been going for 3 years, and I've been there pretty much every year in some capacity, whether running or, like, kind of helping out with things. And, yeah, every year, like there's the potluck after the event, and it seemed like each year it kind of, like, grew in size and, like, and, like, there's just, like, so many people that end up there. And I don't know, did you mention that it's at that Patty Bryant
Patty Bryant's home, and she and Bob are so gracious to, like, let us basically take over her house for 48 hours. And yeah, it's been growing a lot. I think we had maybe like 80 people there at different times and stuff throughout the weekend. It's been great. I think, like, I started it originally because I wanted, like, I think we as a community wanted some sort of event that to bring people together. And I think I personally wanted an event that wasn't going to be just totally about outright speed. And it was, like, a way for people to get raffle tickets, everyone to participate, everyone to, like, be in a, like, blocked amount of time. And so, like, extra good for new trail runners and bringing people together, and that's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that's one of the cool things about these kind of, like, fixed time type events, is the whole field is around each other, like, all the time. Usually, like, if the course is, like, somewhat kind of short, like 1 or 2 miles or so, like, everybody's, like, passing each other all the time, like the front of the race and all the way to the back of the race, everybody's just passing each other, so you can, like, kind of chat with, like, a larger group of people than you might normally would in, like, a normal, like, trail race or something.
It's pretty fun. And also, it's, like, gotten so crazy with, like, John getting Everest, and it just, like, people really pushing it and going for it. And I don't know, it's fun to see, like, people go after different goals than you kind of would normally expect.
I think it's just a really cool thing for the community, I think. But yeah, then, so you do some work with Runners for Public Lands. I think, like, you've, like, organized, like, trail work days and stuff in the community. I think that's pretty cool.
For the Vert Challenge, that was a fundraiser for Runners for Public Lands, and then we also organized trail work to help maintain the trails around here. There's trail work day that's coming up, October 17th. Yes. Everyone put it on their calendar. And we're going to be working on Blue Canyon Trail, which is backcountry, and it's going to be part of Stephen Sears' race that he will be putting on in the future. So, really exciting stuff coming up.
That one could use some work.
Yeah, really good. And there's a lot of poison oak, so we're going to figure out how to deal with that. There's just so many trails around here, and I feel like it's a great way to give back to do some trail work, because we're spending so much time out there.
Yeah, cool. That's on October 17th?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I'll be in Germany at the time. Damn it.
Lucky.
But everybody else should go help with that, because that's going to be a good one. Well, cool. So maybe we can, like, weave our way towards Leadville now. I'm curious, how did you get into Leadville? Because to my knowledge, it's, like, a super popular race, like, one of the most popular races in the U.S.
Yeah.
I think, do they have like a lottery system or something like that?
Yeah, so they do have a lottery, and there's no qualifiers needed for the lottery, so they get a lot of entrants.
Yeah.
But I cheated, and I got an entry from Rabbit, so they're the presenting apparel sponsor, and they get an entry into the race.
Yeah, maybe you can talk about Rabbit for a second. So, like, you kind of run for the Rabbit running.
yeah. So Rabbit is super awesome. They've supported, like, I was part of their Elite Trail team last year, and then they ended up having to disband the team just for a lot of different reasons, but they couldn't, you know, support the athletes in the way they wanted to. But now they're forming this adventure crew.
Yeah.
And so, actually John's part of it.
Yeah.
And it's been really geared towards like building community, getting people involved in their own trail running community, helping out at events and just, kind of raising awareness about the brand and what they care about. And so this was kind of the first event that the adventure crew got to go to. It was a really great trial run. And yeah, it was really fun to get to run the race because of Rabbit. So yeah, huge thank you to them.
Yeah, for sure. They're a local Santa Barbara company.
Yeah. So woman owned. Yeah. Monica.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. So they helped you get into Leadville. And then I was also wondering why Leadville, is it basically Rabbit kind of helped you get in? So it's like, well, shoot, I might as well. That's an awesome race.
Yeah. That's what I would think. I mean, that definitely doesn't hurt. Yeah. It's been on my radar. I mean, I think all these big mountain races really appeal to me. And so at some point I would like to do them all.
Yeah.
if that's possible, which is not, but
yeah,
as many as possible.
Yeah. Well, I guess... what does training look like for Leadville? It's at high altitude. That's one of the things, one of the main things I know about that race is like, it's like the average elevation of the race is like over 10,000 feet or something. So it's like the majority of the time you're at just ridiculously high altitude.
Yeah.
And you live here in Santa Barbara at sea level.
Yeah. Yeah, the training for altitude is definitely a challenge, and especially here. I did have the privilege of getting to go out a week early, so that helped. Yeah, I would say any time at altitude beforehand helps. For as far as the training, Mike Swan is my coach, and so he was really helpful, and when I told him like I'm not gonna have time to train at altitude before this, he was like, well, we'll just have to be extra fit. And that's a good way to look at it. So just a lot of mileage, a lot of doubles, things like that, and then also a lot of heat training too, sauna training.
Yeah, so you did do, like, sauna training and all that.
Yeah, then thanks to John and Jeremy for going to the Y with me.
Yeah.
Being in the sauna is kind of hard, so
yeah.
It's boring, and it helps a lot if you have friends there, so.
Yeah, cool. And I think, so, well, maybe we can talk about the course a little bit of Leadville.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think probably a lot of people listening to this, you probably know about the Leadville course, but it's at high altitude, and I guess it starts and ends in Leadville, the town of Leadville, Colorado.
Yeah, it was a different course this year because of the fire.
Right, that's what I was curious about.
Yeah.
I heard there were some changes.
Yeah, so it was only like 13,000 feet, where normally it was 15,000 feet or so.
Okay.
A vert, so not much vert, but you're starting at 10,000 feet in Leadville. You go up, it's a lot of road running, you go up to Hope Pass, which is around 12,600 feet.
Yeah.
You go up and over, and then back, and it's like just generally a really big out and back and a lot of either dirt or road running besides that, like, one kind of gnarly pass climb that you're doing.
Yeah, interesting. So it sounds like maybe the course changes weren't that impactful then? Like,
You basically just cut out power lines, which I heard is really hot and exposed and hilly, and so honestly, I think I'm pretty happy about it.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, cool. Okay, maybe we can just, like, start talking through the whole race.
Yeah.
So you said you got up there, like, a week early to kind of maybe acclimate to the altitude a little bit, at least.
Yeah.
And I know John was up there with you to help crew. Who else was on your crew?
Yeah. Let's see. So we had John, Jeremy, and Esther, Rosina, and Megan, and then my partner Alec, my sister Allison, and then both my parents, Ray and Jody.
Yeah, very cool. Cool. I guess y'all probably had like some race, some like pre-race meetings and things to like talk through some logistics.
Yeah, and luckily, like, it was an awesome crew, and they all have a lot of experience, and so, and they all helped at Mammoth last year too.
Yeah.
I think everyone except for Megan, but Megan has done a bunch of runs with me, so she knows the deal.
Yeah.
And yeah, so everyone was really on it, which was awesome.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, so maybe we'll just go to the start of the race. What time? Is it an early morning race start? Is it one of those?
5 or 4?
Ooh, 4 a.m. That's rough.
I can't remember either. It was early. I think it might have been 4, but I don't know why. It was early.
4 is so early. That's like, you don't get a good night's sleep at all.
Yeah.
The night before. Like, 5 I can kind of see. Like, I don't know. But 4 a.m., that's like, you're probably up by 2.
Yeah. I remember it being early, but I can't remember.
Yeah. Either way, you're not getting a good night's sleep before, probably.
Yeah, I do remember seeing a 2 on my alarm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. Not fun.
Yeah. cool. Well, how was the start line vibes?
Oh, it was great. Cool? It's a huge race. Yeah. I don't know how many people entered, like,
I think it was like 650 running or
something. Yeah, 650 people. So I've never been in 100 with that many people before. Uh-huh. So
yeah, and then you got to think, like, each runner probably has a crew of like 4 to 5 people, maybe.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And because there's no qualifier to do it, there's just a lot of, it's a lot of people's first 100. And there was a lot of, like, bro energy.
Oh, out there. Interesting.
So that was, interesting
to
be around.
I have heard that about Leadville recently, as it's kind of gone the kind of, like, gym bro.
I think I was a little surprised by that, but, it's interesting.
Okay, so the race starts off. I wonder, do they have, like, a shotgun start to the race? Is there any shooting of guns?
Yeah.
It feels like that would be the vibe.
It's a lot of energy. It's like the whole streets are just lined with people. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, cool. Cool. So as the race gets going, are you kind of like in a huge pack of people running together?
Or? Yeah, the first 7 miles or so was like a wide road and it was first asphalt, then transitioned to dirt. Tons of people. I was really just trying to, like, go my heart rate and not go out too fast. It's, like, downhill, too, so it's really easy to go way too fast.
Yeah. Interesting. What's the crew logistics like? When can you see crew for the first time?
You can see them at mile 26.
That's the first time,
26 is the first time.
Wow. Yeah. I'm assuming there's some aid stations in between then and then.
Yeah, I think they ran out of water at the 10 mile one. It was crazy when I got there. Like, luckily I I think I was the first, like, really big pack that got there. And they were just, yeah, so it was very overwhelming, the poor people who were volunteering there. But, yeah, they must have ran out for the back of the pack.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
Interesting.
yeah.
Were you able to get water there?
Or? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, luckily. It just, like, was not a fast, not a fast station. But.
Yeah. Interesting. So you just keep on plugging away. Are you feeling good at that point still? Like,
yeah, my watch kept on telling me, like, monitor activity. You may still start feeling the effects of altitude.
Oh.
Like, early on, I got several warnings before mile 20. Oh, so looking at that, I was like, oh, this can't be good.
Yeah.
Like, that probably means that my heart rate's too high.
Huh.
And so I had been paying attention to it, but then I realized it was just stressing me out. So I, like, kind of just started to go by feel. And that helped for a little bit. I've also been dealing with this, like, weird chest pain, and that was hurting pretty quick off the bat. Luckily it kind of helps me not go too fast. And so, there's some advantages of that.
Yeah.
Everything was going well up until, like, mile 26 or so.
Oh, so you get to mile 26, see your crew, and then things get tough? Or?
Yeah. Like, I think about... So, I think what happened is I had a little too much salt early on. I think it was a 4 a.m. start.
Yeah.
And so, too much salt early on when it wasn't hot. Then I was pretty... dehydrated, I guess, coming into mile 26, was really thirsty, so chugged, like, half a Gatorade, and then as soon as I left the aid station, I was, like, maybe half a mile out, and I just started, like, full body cramping. So it was, like, my legs were cramping, but also, like, my back muscles, and, like, my tongue, like, just, like, every muscle in my body, and I have had a lot of cramps before, and so I know I can usually run through them, and I did that for maybe, like, a mile or so, and then it just kept getting worse and worse. And then there's two aid stations really close together, which, thank goodness, because I was struggling. So there was one at mile 28, and I saw Megan, Rosina, and Alec there. And I was just walking, and I was like, guys, we're basically screwed. Like, this is going to be survival mode. Uh-huh. I cannot run anymore, and we still have 72 more miles. and they're like, you want a bag of chips, you know, like, trying to make me feel better. And I'm like, I don't know if it's too much salt, too little salt. Like, I was just overwhelmed and, like, basically mad at myself because I just thought that I messed up the whole race, and, like, it was over, basically. Like, it was just gonna be me hiking and trying to make cutoffs after that.
Interesting. That's mile 28, basically. Yeah, that I can imagine. It's probably a very mental, tough place to be at that point in the race. Interesting. But did they... So, I guess they got you out of there.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't stay there very long. I could tell, like, immediately that I could walk. And I was, like, staying there wasn't going to make it go away. So, I just needed to hike as fast as I could.
Yeah.
And, like, I really tried to power hike as fast and efficiently as possible.
Yeah.
But it was just frustrating because it was so runnable. It was, like, beautiful, like, fire road and... Yeah, easy running that I was just hiking where everyone else was passing me.
Yeah, sometimes that's just how it is. You know? But, I mean, you had to have worked your way through that and somehow solved the problem because your finishing time was pretty good. So how did you work through it?
Yeah, I'd say
troubleshooting?
Yeah, that next section, it was rough when I came in to see you guys at mile 40. I was still cramping. I, like, had more salt and, yeah, just tried to figure it out at the next aid station in a longer stop. And then as soon as I left that aid station, which is Twin Lakes, I, like, immediately started cramping again. I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm so screwed. Like, I don't know what to do. I've called Esther. My mom's like, she should be one of those people who call, like, on suicide lines and stuff, like, talk to people and, like, calm them down and stuff, because she was like, she was so great and patient and knew exactly what to say. Yeah. And she did. She, like, I think I just mostly was so worried that everyone was gonna, like, expect me to be flying and then see how slow I am, and I was gonna disappoint everyone. But, like, they were all just very much like, no, just go have fun, you know, we'll see you in 20 miles, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
And yeah, they weren't wrong. Luckily the next section was up Hope Pass, which was hard, but it was mostly hiking for everyone, so I wasn't, like, relatively compared to everyone, slowing down that much. Yeah. You know, like, I was still kind of able to keep up. And then I saw Rosina and Megan on the climb, which was fun.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And
they're just able to, like, kind of meet you on the course?
Yeah, they were just out for a run. So, nice. Yeah, just cheering as we ran by. And then, yeah, up over Hope Pass, everyone...
How long is that climb, by the way? Because that's, like, the main thing I hear about Leadville from, like, news and things like that, is, like, it's the Hope Pass climb is, like, the crux of the race.
Yeah.
You have to go, like, up and over it, and then you have to do it again, like, come back up and over the other way. How is that?
Yeah, it's about, let's see, four and a half miles going up, and... I don't know, maybe 2,000 feet of vert. I think that the difficulty is just you're at such high altitude and you're going up further, and then it's pretty technical to, like, one of the sides is not so bad, but going down the descent on the backside into Winfrey is pretty technical.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like, once you get down the hill, you still have, like, a few miles of running, kind of, like, rolling single track to Winfrey, and there were kind of a lot of rocks and stuff, so that was not the smoothest. And, like, coming down that descent, I was still not able to run, so a bunch of people, like, yeah, just cooked themselves, like, going downhill. And I think it actually maybe played to my advantage to, like, take that downhill really easily. And then I got to the 50 mile mark, and there was a guy at the aid station who I was talking to, and I was like, dang, I just can't figure out my salt water balance.
Yeah.
Like, which, like, do I have too much salt, too much water, what's going on? And he's like, well, whatever you do, don't just drink a bunch of water. And I was like, well, that's exactly what I have been doing. Yeah. What do you mean? And he was like, no, like, you're just gonna flush all the salts if you do that, and, like, don't just drink a bunch of salt, because you're just gonna add too much. Like, your body is trying to reach an equilibrium. Like, you should let it, you know, let that happen. And as soon as he said that, I was like, oh my god, I'm such an idiot. Like, yeah. What was I thinking?
That kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not intuitive.
Yeah. Like, your body is constantly trying to get that balance, and I'm just, like, giving it, like, overwhelming it, basically, in either direction.
Yeah.
And it's not able to process it. And so I think that was, like, a huge realization of, like, oh, my God, I've been, like, my body knows what to do. I just need to let it do its thing and not try and force it.
Yeah,
one way or another.
Interesting. So, like, what was your approach then? Did you just, like, stop eating and drinking for a while or something?
Yeah, so... basically, what I did is I had one bottle with electrolytes, one bottle with water, and I took tiny, tiny little hamster sips.
Oh.
And, yeah, just, like, did not have any gulps or anything. And, yeah, just by drinking a really little bit at a time.
Uh-huh.
I think it allowed my body to kind of like be able to restore that.
Yeah. Interesting.
That happy medium.
Yeah. So, okay. So you found out that guy basically was at the turnaround point, mm-hmm. aid station, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, so, like, I guess leaving that aid station, going back up Hope Pass, that was kind of the strategy of, like, just take little sips of some electrolytes, little sips of water.
Yeah.
And just kind of try to let your body reset.
Yeah. More. And it ended up being the, yeah, strategy for the rest of the race.
Yeah. So when do you get a pacer?
Mile 60. So it's right after you go up and over Hope Pass.
Ah,
again.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. That's tough. So you have to do all of, like, you have to do all of the Hope Pass, like all of the race, and then also all of Hope Pass before you get a pacer.
Yeah. Yeah. But luckily by that point, I kind of turned the corner, was no longer, I'd like been cramping for literally so long that, like, even though I wasn't cramping anymore, my muscles, like, felt
the
like
sore,
they were.
Probably,
yeah, or... exactly. Yeah. So it took a little bit to, like, remind my legs that they could run. But then they eventually got there, and I was able to run the whole descent. And and then by the time I was coming into to Twin Lakes for the second time, I was just, like, stoked that I was going to get to see friends, and the rest of the run I had friends for, and so... It would be, yeah, just, like, a lot more fun, a lot,
yeah.
Like, I also had not really, yeah, had, like, anyone that I'd been hanging out or talking with during the whole race, and I love,
yeah,
like, yeah, just getting to hang out with people, and so I was very excited to have friends
yeah.
join.
Yeah, well, that's pretty cool, like, you were able to, like, work through this kind of just big challenge of it. You know, and kind of turn your race around.
Yeah. Yeah, it was comforting, like, yeah, to just be able to problem solve. And it's also feels like, it feels crazy while you're in it to be like, whoa, I just, like, learned something about myself.
Yeah, right. Like, it's kind of empowering. Like,
yeah.
You learn something new about your own body. Like,
mm-hmm.
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
To go to do. Yeah, so you get to Twin Lakes and you see people. And so who do you pick up as a pacer at that point?
Jeremy was first. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How, what's the length on that section?
Oh, honestly, I'm so bad about this. 9 miles, maybe?
Yeah, it was between 9 and 12.
Somewhere in there.
It changed with all the course changes, all the pacing sections changed. So we had lots of duplicate information. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, but we had a lot of fun. Yeah, it was a blast. I didn't have to carry anything. This race allows muling, is maybe one of my favorite things about Leadville.
Yeah. So you just got to take off your pack and everything at that
mm-hmm.
point, and people just carried stuff for
yeah.
you?
Yeah, and because I was, like, just drinking my, like, baby sips,
yeah.
too, it was probably really annoying for them, where they just, like, constantly had to hand me the bottles, and,
yeah.
It was not an easy pacing race.
Interesting. Yeah. Do you have any, like, pleasant memories or stories from Jeremy's section?
I remember us getting really excited over all the beaver activity that we passed by.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that was a blast. And
beaver activity as in, like, dams? Like, beaver dams or something?
Yeah, there's beaver dams and a bunch of aspen that have been, like, chewed on and stuff. And,
yeah.
Yeah, it was... it was cool. It was really fun. Just, like, beautiful aspen groves that we were running through.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. So you get through that, like, 9 or 12 mile section.
It says 11.
Yeah. 9, 10, 11, somewhere in there. Who's the next pacer that you pick up?
Rosina was the next. Okay. And I think she had... another 9 mile section. In my mind,
I think you're right. I think Jeremy's was a little bit longer than that.
Yeah.
I think Rosina's was
about 9.
Mm-hmm. And her section was mostly road running, so a little faster, uh-huh. flatter than the other ones. Yeah, and we had, there was some fun, like, little aid stations that have popped up. There was one with a basketball hoop, and we like tried to shoot some hoops.
Yeah,
which was fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it nighttime at this point? By the way.
Yeah, it was nighttime. Basically, right when I was picking up Jeremy, it's turned into night.
Cool. So you're going into the night. You're with Rosina. So who's next? Who did you get to next?
Yeah, then I picked up John, and we had 15 miles. I remember that one.
Is that the final 15 of the race? Or
yeah, final 15. There's no aid stations in that section, so kind of a long
one. Long carry.
Except for this secret one.
There's a secret one.
Was there a secret one?
Yeah, I forgot her name. But there was a small aid station.
Did we pass it?
We definitely went there and had a Coke. It was a lady's name. I forgot, but it was an Eastern European couple that ran the aid station. It was super small, on this massive climb.
Okay, I do remember that now that you bring it up. I forgot about that.
Yeah, but I think that one was another one that wasn't posted on the race.
They didn't want you to rely on it, but...
Yeah. I wonder if they've been there for years before and just...
It looks pretty official.
Just kind of like a... Yeah, yeah.
They had lights and a generator and a table full of stuff and were offering all sorts of things.
Interesting. Yeah. Cool.
They were awesome.
Any other interesting stories from that section?
Yeah, let's see. It was a big climb, and I asked John if we could walk the whole climb, and he let me, which I was happy about.
There was some jogging in there, too.
And then on the descent to, I still remember at 3:36, John said, like, we have 6 or 7 miles to go, and it's 3:36. Do you think you can do it by 5 a.m.? Yeah. And I remember being really mad at him at the time. because I was like, oh, crap. Like, this means I have to run.
Yeah.
And also, like, that's kind of... Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of fast for me.
Yeah. At that point in the race,
especially that point in the race.
92, 93.
Like, I was like, is this even possible? Like, is this humanly possible for Helen to do this?
Yeah.
I don't know. And then I was also like, yeah, had I known earlier, would I have, like, would that have helped? And as soon as I started running and stuff, I realized, like, oh my god, thank goodness he didn't tell me sooner, because I would have been so burned out. And I'm so glad that I got to walk that whole climb up.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, I saw other people running it, and I don't think it was worth it. Like, I think that it was way better to hike the whole climb and then just cruise on the downhill.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, so I think you were probably egging her on to get there before 5, because would that be it's like the 25-hour finisher buckle? So they have, like, different belt buckles depending on, like, what your finishing time is.
Yeah.
So is it 25 hours you get the good one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you do it under 25 hours, you get... big belt buckle.
Yeah.
It's extremely large.
Yeah.
A lot of belt buckle.
Yeah. So how was it running those last 6 or 7 miles, like, trying to make it in under 25 hours?
Yeah. It was stressful.
Yeah.
And it was also good, because it made it go by a lot faster.
Yeah.
I don't know. What did you think?
I mean, I think... Yeah, I tried not to tell you... Like, I was hoping I wouldn't have to say it, because, you know, it's better to not give you that, you know, those sorts of information. But at some point, I was like, okay, it's a 12-minute mile pace that we needed. And then I was like, okay, that doesn't sound as bad. You know, it's not
it
as
terrible.
Tough. Yeah. Well, but from our perspective, like, when you were feeling bad early in the race, your sections, aid station to aid station, all of them were sub 14 minute pace. So you were like well under 24 hour pace, even when you were cramping. And you didn't like have a section that was over that, I think, until Hope Pass. It slowed down a little bit. So I was like, okay, she's got it. But I've seen you do some crazy stuff. And when we started running, you started running like a 10 minute mile. And I remember thinking, like, I was like, okay, you're good. Like, you don't need to run quite this fast. And you're like, I need to bank time. Because there was, we had, like, kind of an unknown amount of climbing.
Yeah, it was, like, at least 500 feet in the last, which, and, like, trail, it was also not, it was on road, but I remember it kind of was technical, right?
Yeah, it was some fire road and some close to single track.
Yeah.
And it's at night, and you're 90 plus miles into a race, so.
And all we knew was, like, my GPS, like, vert number versus what we should have. So it's, we really didn't know.
Yeah.
We knew there was a climb coming.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Didn't know when it was coming.
Yeah. How
when
big,
or
when it did show up.
Yeah.
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 But you were crushing it, like, with the, with banking the time. And I tried to just, like, use that, just, like, tell her if she was, like, banking time or if, you know, if you need to slow up or speed up. Slow down or speed up or anything.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
But you looked really strong.
I think I went crazy.
You were very focused and determined.
Yeah. Well, sometimes that's how it comes out. Like, when you're, like, really pushing hard at that, you know, for that amount of time, that's, you know, it's tough.
It was hard for me.
Don't agree.
I was like 7 miles
like, to keep up.
Yeah. I was like, wow, we're moving. I was like, I'm working.
Yeah.
Well, then he also had to carry all the bottles. And then anytime I was like, electrolytes. And the phone playing music too. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. What music were you listening to?
Oh, I had a whole Leadville playlist. It was, I don't know, just a bunch of random stuff. But yeah, it was fun to have it. It was good motivation in the last.
Yeah. Like, what are we talking? Like pop or rock or
yeah,
rap
some
music?
Pop, some rock.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't even remember.
Yeah, it was like some alternative.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like pop punk stuff.
Cool. Yeah. Cool.
We did have to bust out Circle of Life.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
She's like, play Circle of Life. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Very cool. So, what's it like when you, like, start getting close to the finish line? Can you see it, like, kind of in the distance?
Oh, I couldn't see shit.
Really?
Because, yeah, I think because of the altitude and I was getting dust in my eyes, like, it was, everything was blurry.
So your vision was actually impaired.
Yeah, so I, like, could see the lights of the finish, but I couldn't. I had, like, no depth perception.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just... And, like, that was the case, too. Like, the section I did with Rosina, I couldn't... When we were coming in, I was like, I see lights for the aid station, but, like, I can't tell if it's a mile away. I can't tell if it's, like, half a mile away. Yeah. You know, like, it was weird and disorienting.
Yeah. You think it's because of dust and stuff?
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, my eyes are fine now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. John, could you see the finish line off in the distance?
Yeah.
Like, how far out can you see it? Like,
far.
Or start hearing it?
Well, so we were kind of, like, I can't speak for you, but I definitely knew that this was in the bag, and we were going...
Under 25
for a while.
Yeah.
Probably shortly after that. You know, we had 90 minutes, and I was pretty confident that whole time.
Yeah.
But... I remember as we got within like 3 miles, I think we started celebrating pretty hard, just kind of just, you know, it's just fun to be pacing Helen again at the end of a race and just to see her crushing it. And then at the top, there was a sensor, like a bib sensor, 1 mile out.
Uh-huh.
And by that point, you could see we were about to be on road. So there was like a full mile on road, and you can see there's a couple hills, but you can see that in the distance.
Oh, nice.
The finish line.
Yeah.
And then you also got to have the whole crew could join point within that last mile.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. That was
so we knew
fun.
It was coming.
Yeah. Did you just run it in, like, hard? Like, try to finish, like, get that good finish time?
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun to just be done.
Yeah. How was it getting across the finish line?
It was pretty special. I think, my, like, goal, my A goal had been to try and get under 25, and I thought that, like, when I messed things up at mile 26 or whatever, that there was no coming back from that, and I also just, like, it was really nice to be like, okay, I can still have the race that I wanted to have, and it didn't go perfectly according to plan, and this was, like, kind of the last race of grad school for me, too. I had, like, a goal of doing a race every year of grad school. And so it just felt, like, really meaningful that just, like, all these things came together and, like, that I could get the time I wanted and that I could do the race and that I could finish grad school and get the job I wanted and, like, all just these things and be surrounded by all these people that I love. Like, it just felt really special.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's, like, pretty special way to... It's like a, almost like a, like a, an ending to a chapter or two or something, or not even necessarily like an ending to a chapter, like just a like cool like closure on, on like that phase. I guess.
I think that's a good way of putting it.
Did we miss any other interesting stories from the race?
Nothing I can think of. What are we missing?
No, I think. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff, but
some shenanigans. Actually, okay, well, maybe I'll talk to John first. Is there any like interesting crew shenanigans that were going on the side, or was it all kind of like game time? Like, let's stay in the zone. Like, you know, make sure Helen stays on track and all that.
Yeah, there were. We had some. There were some larger time gaps because we could not, you know, see her for a lot of time. So there was some, you know, going into town and enjoying that and enjoying the outside. You know, going to the aid stations was nice. And I did not do well in the altitude. So I was trying to take mini naps, you know, as much as I could to get ready for the night section. But yeah, it's so much more impressive, like, I could not sleep at 10,000 feet. Like, I didn't sleep more than an hour the whole time I was in Leadville, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
And so to see, watch people like Helen run sub 25 was, like, amazing.
Yeah.
Because it's the conditions are crazy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was beautiful out there, and, you know, the weather was really nice. It got a little bit stormy, I think, a couple times, so there was a little bit of nervousness. You know, a lot of us kind of... wondering what's going on and everything, but
how does this race like stack up in terms of like beauty and just like picturesque like views and things compared to the other races you've done?
That's a good question. Hope Pass is really beautiful. I would say it kind of depends on what you like. If you like forests and like aspen forests, conifer forest, then this race would be great for you. I think my favorite race to date, in terms of beauty, has been High Lonesome. Similar mountain range, just like a few mountains over, but just really spectacular and like absolutely gorgeous views and high alpine meadows, that sort of thing. Just my favorite.
Very cool. Interesting. Do you have anything on the calendar next after this?
Nope.
Running wise?
Nothing. Nice. Yeah, it's empty. Just chill. Yeah.
Or just stay generally fit, because I think you just you tend to do long runs quite often anyway.
I like these summer mountain races, so I'll definitely try and look for something next year. Got a lot of ideas, but nothing on the calendar. Maybe the little half marathon on Santa Cruz Island, but...
Someday Hard Rock.
Someday Hard Rock. Hopefully sooner rather than later.
You've volunteered at Hard Rock a couple times.
So I joined their run committee this year.
Cool.
So...
Yeah, maybe that'll help your chances someday, or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
Their process is mysterious.
No, it's good, because when it's going to be time, I will feel like I've, like, known, like, I know Dale and the run committee and just everyone, and so I think it's going to feel more meaningful crossing that finish line, kissing that rock, when one day it's, like, meant to happen.
Yeah, so. The time's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's right, ever. Hopefully.
Yeah. Oh, one day, for sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, is there anything else that you would like to talk about, or is that pretty good?
I appreciate you taking the time. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, before we're done, I do have one thing real quick.
Gotta grab this. This is some...
some almond butter. It's like a cinnamon maple.
Ooh.
There's also some pine nuts in there.
Oh, yum.
Yeah,
I was wondering why your sheet said almond butter.
Oh, yeah, you saw that.
Yeah. Like, what's next? Almond butter? Like, I thought it was just your shopping list.
Yeah. No. So, I made that a couple days ago.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
it's a little sample.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I guess we can end it there. Thanks
Perfect.
For doing this. Thank you, John, for
thank you, John.
Joining us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Bye.